The Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
There was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen, who feasted sumptuously every day. And at the rich man's gate lay a poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores, who longed to satisfy his hunger with what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs would come and lick Lazarus' sores. Lazarus died and was carried away by the angels to be with Abraham. The rich man also died and was buried. In Hades, where he was being tormented, the rich man looked up and saw Abraham far away with Lazarus by his side. The rich man called out, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am in agony in these flames." But Abraham said, "Child, remember that during your lifetime you received good things, and Lazarus, in like manner, evil things. But now Lazarus is comforted here, and you are in agony. Besides all this, between you and us a great chasm has been fixed, so that those who might want to pass from here to you cannot do so, and no one can cross from there to us." The rich man said, "Then, Father, I beg you to send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, that Lazarus may warn them, so they will not come into this place of torment." Abraham replied to the rich man, "They have Moses and the prophets. They should listen to them." He said, "No, Father Abraham, but if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent." Abraham said to him, "If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced if someone rises from the dead." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. Grace and peace be unto you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. This morning, I want to preach about the Gospel. The word Gospel means good news. And God willing, and with God's help, as Christians, we profess the Gospel. The good news of Jesus Christ. As St. Paul says, the good news of Christ crucified and the good news of Christ resurrected. But that's not the Gospel that I want to preach about this morning. I don't want to preach about the good news of Jesus Christ. I want to preach about the Gospel of prosperity. The Gospel of our world. This is not the Gospel of Jesus Christ. Christ on the cross. Christ out of the empty tomb. This is the Gospel of prosperity. A Gospel that says consume. A Gospel of easy monthly payments. A Gospel of no interest for 12 months. A Gospel that tells you, you will be happy if you have this. Your life is missing something if you don't buy this. The Gospel of our world. This is a Gospel that evangelizes to us from our television commercials, from our magazines. It evangelizes to our children through cartoons and video games. It is a pervasive Gospel. It is a Gospel that says, happiness. It's just one mouse click away, one trip to the store away. You can attain it by what you have, by what you secure, by what you own. This is in direct relation to the Gospel of Christ, which says the Gospel of Christ is not something you attain. It's not something you buy. It might not even be something you possess. It's something that's given to you freely by God. It is faith. It's what you have inside, not what you can point to in your garage. The Gospel of prosperity seems to have taken hold of our world. Consider this fact. In 1976, the year I was born, the average supermarket carried 9,000 items. In 1976, 9,000 items. Today, in the year 2010, the average supermarket carries 30,000 items. Wow. We have such choice. We have such selection. Thanks to the free market economies, Thanks to technology, things are cheaper than ever. You can buy pineapples in February. You can buy fresh tomatoes in January. You can buy ground beef and steak and cheese and milk with only a 1 minute drive away. Your fridge can be full. Many families own 3 deep freezers full of food. We should be so happy. If the gospel of prosperity is true, if the more we consume, the happier we are, we should be the most happiest people ever. I have the pleasure, the privilege, the honor of being involved in many funerals. And many of those funerals are people that come from a different generation and different time than me. They were born near the turn of the century. And I sit in that chair back there, right where Murray is, halfway through the service, and a family member will come right to that pulpit right there, and they will read a eulogy. And they will list high points of the deceased person's life. And I listen with interest to their lives, because their lives do not mimic my life. Their high points they speak of was the day that Dad got the first tractor on the farm. The day they had their first telephone service. The day the family finally had indoor plumbing and didn't have to wait in line to take a bath once a week. For them, this was technology. These were highlights. What will my children say at my funeral in 100 years? In 1993, Dad first got the internet. Wow. Doesn't quite have the same ring to it, does it? The internet, a flush toilet. I don't know. I'm not sure. I can tell listening to these eulogies, having coffee with more senior members, that we are so much more advanced. We don't go to one-room schoolhouses. We have individual classrooms for every grade. We have learning boards. We have gymnasiums. We have school counselors and social workers. We have access to computers and DVD players. All sorts of things that the one-room schoolhouse never had. We eat better than those that came before us. We have more variety in our diet. All winter we are not stuck to simply root vegetables and whatever we're able to kill or slaughter on the farm. We can eat pineapples whenever we want. Tomatoes whenever we want. Fresh lettuce is only a trip away. You want chicken tonight, beef tonight, pork tonight, bison tonight, shrimp tonight, salmon tonight, you can have it. If it's not in your deep freeze, it's at your local grocer. 34 years ago, there were 9,000 items in the supermarket. Today, there is 30,000 items in the supermarket. And given inflation, those items are cheaper today than they were back then. We can move things more economically. We can grow things more economically. We can harvest things more economically. And as consumers, we can buy things more economically. We can consume. We can possess. We can have. The middle class lifestyle today is nowhere near the middle class lifestyle of 60 years ago. Today, the middle class, me included, thankfully, go to Mexico, Hawaii. They might own 3 vehicles. They might live in a 2,000 square foot house. They have central air conditioning. They might get 4 to 6 weeks of holidays a year. This was not the middle class of the 1960s. People did not go to Cancun on a whim for summer for winter vacation. Again, we have access to more things. Our retailers have more goods to purchase. We have more car dealerships and more models to suit our fancy. We have all kinds of food and restaurant choices. Our children have more choice in schools and education. Thanks to travel, we have more choice in our leisure activities and what we pursue in our spare time. So we should be the happiest generation ever, right? If the gospel of our world is true, if the gospel of prosperity, the idea that you can consume and buy your way to happiness, we should be the happiest generation ever. Because we have more than anyone who has ever come before us. We have more homes, we have more cars, we have more holidays, we have more vacation photos, we have more food, we have more stuff than any generation before us. But are we more happy? Let's take the gospel of prosperity at faith. Let's really test it against sound logic. Maybe us Christians are missing out all of our talk as we hear today about charity, about contentment, about finding peace inside, about faith. Maybe we've missed it. Maybe joy really is found in our possessions. Are we more happy? Well, depression is on the rise. Divorce is on the rise. Workplace violence is on the rise. Are we more happy? Are these empirical indicators pointing to something else? Maybe we're not happy. Maybe the things we consume have not brought us happiness. And here's where the gospel of Christ comes. The gospel of Christ tells us the things we consume will not bring us true happiness. And don't mistake joy. Don't mistake pleasure for true contentment and happiness. Because those are different things. The flutter of a heart, the expectation before a purchase, the gleaming eyes on Christmas morning when a box is opened, is not the same as peace in Christ. One's not evil, one's not, they're just different than one another. Today St. Paul writes Timothy, and Timothy is a young protege of Paul. Timothy has traveled with Paul, seen Paul preach and teach, and now Timothy as a missionary has gone off to establish and nurture the Christian church. And Paul writes Timothy about money. And it's important to notice in Paul that Paul never says money is evil. Paul says in his reading today from Timothy, the love of money is the root of evil. Money in itself, as we talked about, is simply a possession of wealth. It's paper. It's coins. It represents time, innovation, sweat equity. It represents buying power. In and of itself, money is neutral. How we use money is where our focus should be. The rich are not condemned to hell, and the poor are not necessarily guaranteed a spot in heaven. Our actions, our attitudes, our faith, our outward motivations towards our neighbor play a part in this. Consider rich men of the Bible. Abraham, exceedingly rich. Job, like a Donald Trump of Israel. Joseph of Arimathea, because he was rich, he was able to give Christ a tomb to be buried in. They are not cursed because they're rich. In fact, God blesses them. But they use their wealth for the betterment of others. They use their wealth to care and to spread God's word. Today, Paul says, those who are rich, he tells Timothy, and this is a strong word, command them, he says. Command them to be charitable to others. To use their money for the betterment of the poor and the needy and the ministry in your community. Have them build up their riches in heaven. Not simply their possessions on earth. Christ tells the story of Lazarus today. And it is a story where the rich man is not condemned for being rich, but we're told he lives this life of gluttony. It's party time every night. It's the Playboy Mansion. He's Hugh Hefner. We're told there's a sumptuous feast and party every night. He's condemned because as Lazarus sits outside his castle gate, he ignores him. And then, the man is in Hades, the place of the dead, hell if you will. He looks up in this vision, and he sees Abraham, the great patriarch of the church. He sees Lazarus. And what's his command? You tell Lazarus to fetch me some water. You tell Lazarus to go to my family and warn them. Even then, he's so full of himself. Even though he's burning the eternal flames of Hades to him, seeing Lazarus dying with Abraham, Lazarus is still below him. Because Lazarus is a failure. He's an outcast. He's poor. He's made nothing of his life. So therefore, he is beneath him. Our question is, how do we value things? Do we value success in terms of the money that we or others acquire? Is success found in our homes, our driveways, our bank accounts? Or is success found somewhere else? Is success found inside? Does it come from within? Because this is the big question. This is where the gospel of prosperity and the gospel of Christ collide with one another. The gospel of prosperity tells us success comes from outside of yourself. The things you purchase, consume, use, and have. This is your success. The gospel of Christ says no. Success does not come from those things outside of you. Success comes from within you. Success comes from faith and a knowledge that what we see, that what the world tells us, is not God's world. When Paul writes in Romans, Paul writes the biggest mistake that the Greeks make, and the Greeks are us, the Gentiles. The biggest mistake they make, Paul says, is they call evil good and good evil. Our world will sell you that same message. That consumption, putting yourself before the needs of others, making sure that your belly is filled, making sure you have enough in your storehouse, enough in your freezers before the needs of others, is good. But is that God's word? God's word focused around giving, sharing, supporting, and nurturing. Here we have the conflict. The good news for us in today's stories, the good news in these readings, is found in the knowledge that God blesses us internally. You see, if we have to find our success in the things we possess, we're always going to be searching. Paul says in his letter to Timothy today that contentment will breed a healthy faith. If we put our trust, if we put our self-esteem and our happiness in the things that we possess, and I've talked about this so many times, I'm like a broken record, we'll never be content. Because there's always version 2.0 coming. There's always someone richer. There's always someone building a new house. Our car is always getting one day older. Or in my case, even more and more rusty. You see, it's always a moving target. You can never be happy. You can never be content. Because you're always having to move forward. Work harder, make more, consume more, possess more. Wait, my more is getting older, not enough. More and more and more. God says, get off the hamster wheel. You are successful not by what you possess, but by who you are. Baptized, blessed, cared for, nurtured, equipped, gifted with the Holy Spirit. Don't look at the things out there. Consider the things in here. Recognize all this stuff out here is temporary. What's in here is eternal. And this is good news. Because we can get so trapped. So running. My job's not good enough. My spouse isn't good enough. My house isn't good enough. My car isn't good enough. My children aren't good enough. You name it. That we find ourselves angry, bitter, hard done by, resentful. Rather than stopping. Enjoying. Thanksgiving. For what we do have. Finding contentment in what we've been blessed in. Finding joy in what we have. Paul says, if I have food and clothes and shelter, great. Let me find contentment in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The gospel of the world is pervasive. It's out there. The world will sell you stuff that you want. It's okay to want those things. It's okay to work hard to have those things. It's okay to enjoy those things. But don't let those things define you. Don't let those things make you feel whole. Don't let those things make you feel important. Like the rich man in today's reading, don't let those things make you feel better than anyone else around you. Just let those things be things. Things that won't love you back. Things that won't forgive you. Things that won't care for you. Things that won't honestly love you. Let them just be things. Hold on to God. For God will care for you. God will nurture you. God will feed you. God will love you. Amen.